Iran. Well, in Egypt, elections are drawing to an end. Amongst the observers there is the former American president, Jimmy Carter. There is part of his Carter Foundation, of course, and he joins us now live on the line from Cairo. President Carter, welcome to the program. What have you been able to observe so far?
Well, the Carter Center delegation, about 40 people, have been here since November. And as you know, the election for parliamentary members is in three phases. And then after that will be the elected the upper house, the Shura. Those two groups will then choose 100 members of a constitutional convention who will write a new constitution for Egypt. Then there'll be a referendum by the people to approve that constitution, and then an election for a president before the end of June. So there are a series of elections that began in November that will go all the way to June. And so far, the people with whom we've met in Egypt believe that the elections' quality have been superior to what they expected. A very high turnout, and no allegations of any substance that that the mistakes made have been designed to favor one candidate over another candidate. So although it's too early to say, we have been favorably impressed so far.
And you have, of course, a lot of experience of observing elections yourself. Your own observation bears out what you've been hearing, does it?
Yes, we were in polling sites last night, and people were very enthusiastic, and they have a strange arrangement here where all the ballot boxes after the votes are cast are brought to a central location, and there the votes are counted, and I think they'll do away with that in subsequent elections. But that has created some unnecessary complexities. But in general, the impression that we have, that I have personally, is very good.
You mentioned the drafting of the Constitution there. That is one area where questions remain, though, isn't it? A lack of clarity, perhaps, whether the military, which has been running the country since President Mubarak was ousted, will have a say in it. What's your own view, and will you be taking part in those negotiations?
We won't be taking part in the negotiations, but we'll be witnessing that process, and also the process of the referendum after the constitutional text is decided, and we expect to be here for the election of a president as well. But you're right, the key issue is who will control the government of Egypt in the future? Will it be the military, as it has been for more than 60 years, or will it be civilians who have been elected by the people themselves through the parliamentary procedure? And they haven't yet decided, obviously, whether it'll be a parliamentary system as we have, as you have in England or Great Britain, or whether it'll be primarily a strong president like we have in America, or maybe a combination as they have in France. But that still has to be decided. But the main issue is how much control over the future government will the military retain? And, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood has won a surprising victory here, maybe getting 48% of the total parliamentary seats. And they can form a coalition very easily. And we don't yet know what their policies will be.
Well, indeed, and with whom they might be forming that coalition. How concerned should the United States be about the Muslim Brotherhood being in a position of power in Egypt?
Well, I've talked to top officials in the State Department before I came over here, and since I've been here, I've talked to the U.S. ambassador, and all of them assure me that they're willing to accept the results of this election and work harmoniously with the Muslim Brotherhood if their victories continue. This is quite different from what the United States did in 2006, as you know, when Hamas won an election fair and square, won a majority in the parliament, and then the United States and Israel declared that they were terrorists after the election was over. So it'll be quite different this time. I believe they are fully prepared to accept the results of the election and work with the Muslim Brotherhood as the leaders in the parliament.
Even if they go into coalition with some who take more extreme views?
Well, the Salafists are winning about 25% of the votes, but I don't think there's any prospect of the Muslim Brotherhood forming a coalition with the Salafists. They have said they will not do so.
Just if I can turn your attention to the wider question of the Arab Spring, the situation in Syria at the moment. We've seen President Assad today, 2 days in a row, making a public appearance. Do you think the West, the outside world, has been tough enough with him?
Well, I think, short of direct military intervention, which I would certainly think would be a serious mistake, I think the West, through the finally working through the Arab League, is doing the best it can to try to bring peace and reconciliation there.
But it's not doing well enough, is it? There is not peace, no, there is not reconciliation.
No, my hope is that it won't degenerate into a serious, a most serious civil war. But the circumstances there are very unpleasant, and some elements in Syria, for instance, the Christians, are basically supporting Assad because they've been protected by the Assad regime for a number of years, and some of the other groups as well. So I believe that the oppression has been horrible, and I think that the action by the Arab League in trying to go there has been a heroic effort, but they haven't been successful, and we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I don't believe that the United States, for instance, is at all inclined to try military intervention as we did through NATO in Libya. I don't think that's possible.
It's not possible. What is possible, and does it suggest that America's influence is waning if it is not able to influence the situation in Syria?
Well, there are some things you can't influence effectively, but the United States is doing the best it can, both to deter Iran from going nuclear and also from Syria further degenerating into civil war. But there's a limit to what even a powerful country like the United States can do.
Well, you mentioned Iran. We've seen the killing of another nuclear scientist there. Do you think that brings war closer?
Well, my hope is, that this can be resolved through economic pressures and through the without resorting to war. I think it'll be a much more serious thing, a war with Iran, even than it was with Iraq. And this would have much more far-reaching effects throughout the Middle East. So I pray that that we can deter Iran through economic persuasion rather than through military intervention.
President Jimmy Carter, thank you very much indeed. You're listening to the BBC World.